Sounding sweeter all the time, isn't it? Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Shake hands with somebody. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play that. Let's sing that chorus one more time, if you will. Praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, buddy.
say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by, a tree of life. Oh, no pain, no death or disappointments ever come there. And Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light.
Thank you, Lord.
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears in our eyes again. The hymns will echo with the story as we sing.
Say praise the Lord. I don't know what it'll cost you to get there, but you're getting a real deal. To get there, you are getting a real deal. I don't care what it costs you. It's worth everything that it costs us to get home, right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. We've got a lot of prayer requests we want to let you know about tonight. Sister Jan Hall sends this in to please pray for our daughter whose bank account has been hacked today. Zero balance is showing. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. The Lord's able to fix that, and we'll just commit it unto the Lord. Ask God to be with those folks. Brother Fred Green says to please pray for his grandson, Dion Wolf. He's entering his second year of college. They're asking that we would pray for him. The Lord just be with him during this time of his life. Brother Amos says to remember my cousin's son-in-law, Brian Ingram, suffering from a kidney malfunction. We'll remember that need tonight. Also, Brother Amos says, please remember my oldest brother in prayer. He recently had a heart attack and suspected of having a second one, came close to having a second one. God, I believe, is speaking to him about his spiritual condition and his life. God spared him and loves him. It is really shaking him up. So let's pray that the Lord would just convict his heart, and may he find an altar to give his life to the Lord. Amen. This is from a brother, Stuart. Two of my co-workers are having health problems. Please believe with me for their healing. May God bless you. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Here's a prayer request to please pray for the Christians that's being persecuted in Iraq and around the world. So let's remember that tonight as we pray. Sister Teresa Salyer had a very bad fall. She's in severe pain with spasms in her neck and back, suffering. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Mike Pierce. He's in the Johnson City Medical Center. He got worse, and they rushed him to the intensive care unit around 5:15 this afternoon. So let's pray for him and his family. The Lord will just be with them. Also, I want to pray for Brother Howard and Sister Yvette Collins. Both are sick, unable to be in the service tonight. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins, who has not been feeling well for the last couple of days. Let's pray that the Lord would touch our brother. And Brother Daniel Stockton, who is in the hospital with a leg infection. They're asking that we would remember that need tonight. Brother Orville Reese says to please pray for my brother-in-law, Charlie Coffey. They just took him to the emergency room. They suspect he had a stroke. or maybe a brain aneurysm. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Carol Reagan sends this in to please pray for my sister, Sharon Piercy. She has pneumonia in one lung. She has had 4 rounds of antibiotics and can't get it cleared up. Please pray that it will leave her. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Most all of you are aware of our brother Junior Davis left us this morning at about 8:15, I believe it was. And we certainly want to pray for the Davis family as they go through this time of their life. Been a very trying month or so on that family. And we know God can just wrap his arms around them and comfort their hearts. And, well, we know Brother Junior, and I'll tell you what, I wonder just what he's been doing today. Amen. We love our brother, don't we? We certainly do. We sure love our brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is certainly good. God is mindful of all of our needs, all of our situations, whatever it is, whatever we're going through. God is mindful of whatever you're going through tonight, and he cares about you. You have a need you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. We've got some visitors here with us in the service tonight. I'll go ahead and recognize those folks, some brothers. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce your names. I'll just say you're from Brazil and Uganda, and I guess right in this area right here. Would you just raise your hands? Give these folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. God bless you. I believe one of them is a pastor from Uganda. Am I right?
Yes.
Who would that be? Would you just raise your hand? Why don't you come tonight? I don't know how much English you know or speak. You may speak it better than us, but come tonight. Lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. We're glad to have our brother, aren't we? Amen. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for prayer requests. God bless you.
Amen. I'm so happy to be here, and I believe that God is able to answer these prayers. How many believe with me? Yeah, let us just go to the throne of grace, and we pray. Dear loving Father, Lord Jesus, we want to come before you, Lord God, and bring this prayer request before you, because we know that you are able. Because we trust in you, Father. You created heaven and the earth and the things that there is, Lord God. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord God. Father, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that you may come and answer every prayer request, Lord God, that's here, Lord. Those who are suffering that needs healing, Father. Lord God, may you touch them, Father. Because, Lord God, we know that healing is our bread, Lord God. And Father, by your stripes, oh God, we are healed. Father, Lord God, those who need comfort, Lord, may you comfort them, Lord. Like that family that lost their loved one, Father. Lord, you are the one who comfort those who are mourning, Father. May you touch their hearts, oh God. Oh, my Savior, Father, you are so wonderful, Lord. We thank you, Father, because you are the God that answers prayer. And that's why, Lord God, you told us to pray. Because you want to intervene in our needs, O God. Father, we cast all our burdens, all our trials, all our cares unto you, Lord. Because we know that you care and you are able. Father, we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, just clap to him. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, our brothers, God bless you. Any other visitors that we would have, we certainly welcome you to the service. All those that are streaming the service tonight, pray this service would be a blessing to them. Remember the blood drive. Be Thursday the 21st, so remember that. Sign up if you will. Also, Brother Leniel has a CD available in the library. Recorded live at Brother Luke Gibson's assembly in South Carolina. I know it'll be a blessing to you, so if you want to stop by the library and pick one of those up, they have those available for you tonight. Let's sing a song. Are you ready to sing tonight?
Yeah.
Are you ready to worship?
Yeah.
We're celebrating.
Yep.
And I didn't mention anything about Brother Junior's arrangements because we don't know yet. But we're celebrating his home going a little bit early. The service will be later in the week, but let's celebrate his home going tonight. He made it home. Aren't you glad our brother made it home? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song, Brother Harry. Look for me, for I will be there too. Brother Junior's service will be here on Wednesday night. Wednesday night. There'll be details in the newspaper, I'm sure, as we go further into the service. Maybe in the morning we'll have some more visiting hour arrangements and this and that and whatever. But he ain't sad tonight. He ain't sad. We're not going to be sad. We're going to miss our brother so bad. But I'm going to tell you something. If I can get to where he's at, he'll be worth everything. Look for me. For I will be there too. We'll help you.
When you finally make your entrance to that city,
oh,
of jasper walls and bright gold, and you, as you behold all its beauty and its splendor. Remember, there's just one request
I make
of you.
Sing it now.
Look for me, for I will be there.
Sing a little chorus, God is good. Yes, He is. God is good. Let's sing that little bit of that chorus, Sister Cindy. Ever you and Sister Tamika, and ever how you have that trio arranged tonight. If y'all will come onto the platform now, be getting ready to sing for us. Let's sing this little chorus together. God is good all the time. Yes, He is. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is
You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. He's not good just now. He's good all the time. Well, I know God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search this whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find.
Well, He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. You gotta say it one more time.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight.
To finish it. The world saw a man with a tree on his back, and they laughed. But God saw a son who He loved carry more than that.
He counted me.
sing that little chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight. My hope, Brother Terry, is in the Lord. Is that your hope tonight? Not in Chase, Manhattan. Not in First Tennessee. But my hope is in the Lord. How about you tonight? Let's sing that little chorus together tonight. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. From this time on.
If we had our hope in the world and the things of the world and all that it could offer. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 if you would tonight. I want to greet our brothers that you're visiting with us tonight. God bless you, brothers. I'm sure Brother Louis already mentioned to you that Brother Junior Davis changed houses this morning. Amen. We're certainly happy for our brother. And it makes us feel sad in our hearts for his family and our loss as a church family. So we certainly want to remember them. I'm sure you will. The service will be here Wednesday night, viewing from 5 to 6:30. And the service then will be at 7 o'clock. So I want you to remember that this week. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. I'd like to speak to you tonight on resisting temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. And the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. And Luke says he showed them to him in a moment of time, which is the same word that is used for your change in 1 Corinthians and also 1 Thessalonians, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. 1/50th of a second, they say. The devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. How is that possible? They didn't even exist. People who have dreams and have visions, be careful. Because all dreams and all visions are not from God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. And the glory of them. Not the economy. Not the politics. Not the sickness, the disease, the trouble. But he showed him in this temptation the same way he shows me and you when he tempts us. He shows us what part he wants us to see. Let's bow our heads together. How many like to be remembered tonight in prayer before the Lord? Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, dear God, that we have this privilege. That we can come into your presence, into your great august courts. We've been bidden by you, Lord God. We Gentiles who were without the gates only left to just a courts on the outside. But now we have been bidden into the holiest of holies. And for that we are so grateful. Dear God, I pray that you would take your word. Speak to us tonight, Lord. Give us those things that will be beneficial for us in this service. Father, I hold in my hand three prayer cloths. Lord, you know the needs, dear God, of these people. I'm asking you tonight, Father, that as I preach your word, I don't know how this works. I don't understand it exactly. But all I know is it's in your word and we believe it. Amen. We've got so many testimonies, Lord, of prayer cloths. So we're just going to keep right on doing it because we believe you're the author of this word. May your anointing, your deliverance, your presence, I pray, go with these, dear Father. Speak to us tonight, dear God, in the person of Christ the Word. For it's in his name we ask it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This is the final test in this setting of Satan trying the Lord Jesus. This one is the greatest effect of God's plan for the life of the Lord Jesus. It's amazing that if he cannot get us off the word by sin or by unbelief of doing something wrong that is contrary to our vocation or our call, he is so sly and so cunning that he will actually try to attack us in the place that God has called us to serve in. Now watch what he's doing. He feels apparently a very, very bold attack to be able to move against the Lord Jesus. The place that he has chosen for this attack, he feels like is very, very good for the setting. He chooses an exceeding high mountain. Now, Satan has dealt with human beings up to this time, of course, for 4,000 years. He knows how they think, mostly. He knows how they are motivated by ambition, by selfish desires, what they want to accomplish. He also knows that human beings are affected by heights. They are affected by heights naturally. And they are affected by height supernaturally or spiritually. So Satan is going to use the height of this mountain to enhance the temptation. Also to magnify the vision which he supernaturally will be allowed to show the Lord Jesus. Now I don't want to display him too big tonight, but I want to display him in a big enough way that it'll help you to realize how big our enemy is. Now, he knows that man's ability to perceive about God, about right, about evil, about wrong, can be so affected by his perception of sight, by his perception of his senses, of his things that are around him. Now remember, the Lord Jesus has fasted for 40 days. Now this is the time when the Bible says afterward he was a hunger. So now the hunger has returned. And now the body is kicking over into the final phase of starvation. So the Lord Jesus is experiencing cold. He's experiencing the heights on the top of this mountain. He's now faint, which has now made him lightheaded. He's also very, very sensitive because his emotions, everything around him is just so keen. He's not around people, but he's around the beasts, according to the Bible, the wild animals. Now, he's not facing a demon the way most of you and I have in our lives, but he's actually facing the prince of darkness himself. Now, everything that Satan is doing and led up to this time is actually leading up to this last and final charge or temptation by which he will lay it all out before the Lord Jesus. Now, whenever you think of promotion, many folks in this life, it's what they desire greater than anything in this world. They want to excel.
I'm afraid many times we teach our kids this. We teach our kids they've got to be the best at playing the guitar. They've got to be the best at playing the organ. They've got to be the best at playing the piano. That's the devil. What you want to be is what God wants you to be, whether that's the best or not. Come on now. I want to be what God wants me to be, whether it's the best or not. And we ought to set our goals exactly for the calling of God. Many of you enhance your children and you stick this in their mind. You're the best. You're the greatest. You're this. What are you making out of that child? And then that child gets older and rebellious, and not even the preacher can do anything with them. And then you wonder why. You shouldn't wonder why, since you fed them that nonsense. You should feed it and then be the best thing you can be according to the will of God. God may not want you to be the best singer, the best preacher, the best this, the best that. God has our lives. God chooses us. God picks us. And God predestinates us according to the ability that He will give us. Much of our dying is dying out to things our mama has said to us, our daddy has said to us, our grandpa said to us. Come on, children. Much of the theology, the psychology that preachers are preaching in this day is exactly opposite to this Bible. That's why we got so many books written about self-helps. How to help yourself on this and how to help yourself on that and how to help yourself. There's only one real book that tells you how to help yourself, and that's die to yourself. Not make yourself bigger, not make yourself better, not be better than the other brother, but die to yourself. Die to your own ideas. Die to who you are and let Christ live Himself through you. Oh my, you can see why this kind of preaching is certainly not loved in the day that we're living in. But it's going to be loved by the saints of God. Now, what's the way Satan has now led up from the first temptation to the second temptation, now to the third? We know temptation is not wrong. Temptation is not sin. But it's when we actually yield to that temptation, it's whenever we do wrong. Because the Lord Jesus was actually tempted in all three of these temptations, harder, I'm sure, than any of us have ever been tempted. Oh, you say, oh, I've been tempted so hard. Not like Him. Not like Him. Now watch. Verse 8, Matthew 4. And the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of Him. Now what's the perversion in this temptation? There is always a perverting in any tempting that Satan offers you and I. Now, whether it's to smoke or drink or run around or commit adultery on our spouse or add to the word, whatever the temptation is, there is always a perversion in that temptation. That Satan will offer you this, but he will not show you all that this will bring. He'll show you somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife or a position maybe that you've always wanted that you're not really called to have. Whatever it is that he offers you, he will never show you the downside, the negative side, the reality of that side. But God will always show you the truth because God has nothing to hide. Can you imagine a king coming to the earth to establish a kingdom? And whenever he comes to the earth, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then he goes and says, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. They'll cast you out for evil. They'll run you down. They'll beat you. They'll persecute you. My, what an invitation to come and join this king. Why? He has nothing to hide. The Lord Jesus has nothing to hide. He does not offer us this big pie in the sky, so to speak, and say there'll be no troubles. He tells us we're going to have troubles. He tells us this is not an easy way, but it's His way. Why? He has nothing to hide. But the devil will offer you this and this and this and this. And then he hides the consequences behind it. He hides the ultimate price that you and I will pay. He's approaching the Lord Jesus exactly in the same way. Now what he's going to do, he's going to supernaturally carry the Lord Jesus into, I believe, the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is where diseases began, the prophet tells us. It's also the fourth dimension is where prophets see their visions. Now in the fourth dimension, we know we have light. light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. Seven dimensions that God created for the use in the element of time. In the fourth dimension is where a prophet can go up. In that dimension, like Moses or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, he can go in the future. He can go back in the past. He can stand right now and go from the past into the present, into the future in a matter of seconds. Now, that is a dimension that most of us know hardly anything about. But yet, it is a dimension that is there. Now, Satan, because he is a spirit, an angel, he has access into the realm or the dimension of visions. I believe the devil is the one who showed many of these false prophets the visions that they've had down through time. I believe the devil is the one who has showed many of these leaders that have lived down through time their visions and their dreams and their supernatural visitation with angels coming to them. Come on, church, don't get quiet now. Joseph Smith, I don't doubt at all that that man did not see an angel come to him called Moroni. But all I know is Moroni was contrary to the word. So as far as I'm concerned is Moroni is no different than macaroni. Because if he's contrary to the word, he ain't no good. Come on now. I don't care what prophet has a vision or what preacher it is that has a vision. If it's contrary to the word of God, it is a lie from the devil. Now, am I going to say they don't have visions? Oh, no. I believe they can have visions because the devil was able to show the Lord Jesus a supernatural vision that would transcend anything Muhammad ever saw. It would transcend anything Joseph Smith ever saw. It would be able to go into the future. And it would happen so fast. Luke says in a moment of time. Why is this so necessary? Why is the speed so essential in this vision? So you'll be able to crowd together scene after scene after scene. One glory scene, another glory scene, another glory scene, another glory scene. You ain't got time to see the slums of Paris. You ain't got time to see the slums of Harare or the slums of New York or whatever, but you take one vision after another, and you make a real fast video, as we would say, but you see what? The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, and you see it so fast, it's overwhelming. You're already standing on a high mountain anyway, and then you're seeing this pass before your eyes, and you're just reeling. Praise the Lord. It wasn't God that showed Jesus this. It was the devil. It ain't the God that tells you to leave your wife and marry another woman. It's the devil. Oh, but I had a dream. I don't deny that. But it's still the devil. I had a vision. I'm not saying it wasn't a vision, but it's contrary to the word. It was from the devil. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch. It is important that Satan be able to splice this vision from glory scene to glory scene to glory scene to glory scene and make it so fast. Don't drag it out now. Don't drag it out. Don't make it a 60-minute video. Don't make it an hour and a half movie. But just make it from scene to scene to scene to scene. Glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And do it so fast. And the Lord Jesus is standing there anyway on this exceeding high mountain. His perception of height, his perception of depth has now been so enhanced. And then Satan will speed up the movie so it'll leave his mind whirling. You say, Brother Donnie, you mean it affected him that way? There is no way I could even describe, probably any other preacher, how much it affected him. This is the real movie called The Temptation of Christ. This one wasn't made by Hollywood. The devil made it. So he takes America and Europe and Germany and he takes all the kingdoms of the world and he scrunches all the glory together and from scene to scene to scene to scene. And here's the Lord Jesus as a man and this vision passing right before his eyes. Notice in verse 9. Now this vision comes and saith unto him after the video ends, as we'll say. Jesus is standing there. Then Satan follows up with the credits and the end and the producer and all that sort of thing. You understand what I'm saying? And he says unto him, all these things will I give thee. He saw nobody with AIDS. Saw nobody with cancer. Saw nobody dying. You wasn't even in the vision. It didn't show him you. He showed him the kingdoms. He did not show him you out there dying lost in sin. He didn't show him me lost in sin. He showed him the kingdoms of the world. Why? This is who he's going to be. He knew what Psalms 2 said. Ask me and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. He knew the messianic seed was going to be the ruler as the son of David. What's he offering him? The kingdoms of the world. Now watch him. All these things will I give thee. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now watch what he's doing. He's actually tempting the Lord Jesus to become king of the world without the cross. Now he's taking a portion of Jesus' predestinated position and tried to make that position attainable without dying. Jesus knew his whole life once he got big enough to be able to read and perceive and knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew he was Isaiah 53. He knew he was that serpent that must be bruised and hang on the pole. He knew who he was. And Satan is now using this on him. And Jesus, as a man, actually considered it. As the prince of this world, I took this from Adam. I give these kingdoms to whoever I want. Now he's stretching the truth there. That ain't exactly the truth. Because you know, according to the Old Testament, God was the one who sent in Belteshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar and this and that and the other. But you know, while he's talking, I mean, you know, go ahead and just tell it all, you liar. That's the way he is anyway. So he knows he has an element of control. But he's just going to go ahead and stretch it on out there a little bit like he does to me and you. To see whether or not we'll fall for it. Now, as the prince of the power of the air, he has now brought the Lord Jesus up on this exceeding high mountain. How was it that Jesus came here anyway? You mean to tell me the Spirit of God led the Lord Jesus in the wilderness? We know that's true. And yet Satan then, after he got there, Satan took him from one place to another. An impression on his mind? Was it an influence on his body? Don't you understand why he allowed himself to go through this for you? So that even if you start yielding to temptation and you do something or you start going somewhere you shouldn't go and you say, well, it's too late. I'm done on my way. No, stop there. The Lord Jesus went up on the mountain. It was not God the Father that led him there, but Satan took him up there. But you know what? Him going there, it did not stop him from resisting temptation. Just because Satan tempts your brothers or your sister, and say, oh my, I thought it, I might as well do it. Where do we get this stuff? It's a lie out of the pits of hell. Just because you thought it, stop right there. Don't carry it through. Jesus knew his coming kingdom existed of more than cities and towers and streets and gold and government. What is a kingdom without a queen? What is a kingdom without a queen? Oh, God! As the sister sang the song, when he went up there, he wasn't just carrying the cross. He was carrying me. He was carrying you. What's Satan trying to do? Stop my salvation. He was trying to stop my salvation 2,000 years ago before I was ever born. And ever since I've been born, he's been trying to stop it. And now that I'm saved, he still tries to stop me. But me and Jesus has already got this thing together. Amen. He voted for me and I voted for him. Amen. And you know what? We're going to make it. We're going to make it by God's grace. He didn't stop me then. He ain't going to stop me now. That's the way you feel. But in order to have people, he had to die on the cross. Watch how Brother Branham addresses this and how it can overcome in paragraph 139. The third great assault Satan offered to forfeit this kingdom to him. He did. Satan said, see these kingdoms of the world? These are mine. I do with them whatever I want to. I'll forfeit. I'll forfeit them to you. Boy, you better watch him when he's doing you a favor. Many, many years ago, I had a motor transmission to go out of my car. And Brother Charlie Cox knew several of the guys around Kentucky there that sold parts out of a wrecking yard. So I had him, they had a hotline where they'd get on there and look for a certain engine and a certain transmission. But Brother Charlie found me one. So I asked the guy, he said, I want to make sure this is straight. Yeah, yes, sir. He said, I know you're a preacher. Yes, sir, it's a good one. He said, all right, I don't want you lying to me. He said, no, sir, I wouldn't lie to you. No, sir. He said, you see that car right over there? He said, I've sold an engine out of that car 10 times. Because it only had 40-some thousand miles on it. Of course, the engine wasn't in the car. They'd go in and take an engine off the floor that may have 140,000 miles on it. But the gullible people would walk in. They didn't know the difference. So they said, well, I need a late model engine. Boy, I've got one to come right out of that car right there. It's amazing how that one car had 10 engines. Right. So you know what? Then people go ahead and buy, boy, I got me a good engine. I'm telling you what, low miles, and then something happens to it on down the road. That's exactly the way the devil is. My goodness, how many people does he give the world to out of the same Oldsmobile? How many times has he talked us into doing some of the stupidest stuff in our life, and we fall for it hook, line, and sinker over and over again? I don't understand why we buy a different engine out of the same car every time. Why do we do this? Amen. We don't have to. The Lord Jesus gave us an example of how to resist temptation. But remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. Why is the cross a problem? Why does Satan hate the cross? You mean he don't mind Jesus being a king? Near as much as he minds Jesus being dead? Jesus dying has more power against him than being a king of the earth. You dead do a whole lot more damage to hell than you being alive. Now, I said that in parabolic form. You being dead to yourself are much more of a threat to the kingdom of hell than you being alive to yourself. That's why he don't want you to die. He don't want me to die. I'm going to talk about to ourselves. Now, once he said, remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit without the cross. And if he did, we'd be lost. So you'd have all these kingdoms and all the glory. And you'd sit on that throne by yourself. He said, that's terrible. I know what it is. And Jesus was tempted to do it. Jesus actually contemplated, I don't want to go to the cross. They're going to pierce my hands, my feet. All my bones, they stare at me. They stick out their lips. They come past me like the bulls of Bashan. They'll beat me to where my visage will be marred worse than any man. I will not even look like a human being by the time they get done with me. My head will be swollen the size of a bucket. They'll beat me with a cat of nine tails, and strips of glass and metal will tear the meat out of my back till my bones will be showing from the backside. They'll beat me and whip me, and my blood pressure will be so low my heart will pump. I'll be so thirsty. I'll be such agonizing. Not only that, but God will forsake me. God the Father will turn his back on me, and I will die the death of a sinner, and I will have to go to hell if he accepts this. He don't have to go to hell. But if he didn't go to hell, I have to. But if he goes to hell, I don't have to.
Glory! Hallelujah! But as a man, he contemplated it. I can skip death. I can skip the cross. I can skip hell.
Brother Ram said if he did, his subjects would have died. Satan would have gladly made that proposition with him. But he said, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
He come and suffered and took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. Now watch how he parallels it to us. Are we this morning willing to do, to take the same route that he taken? Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to be a Christian? Everybody in the world love you. Oh, man, nobody talks about you. Nobody run you down. Wouldn't it be something, brothers, to be preachers of the gospel and everybody just loved you? Every time you went everywhere, everybody said, oh, God bless you, servant of God. Oh, man of God, let me just touch your clothes. Let me just, they won't touch them. They won't take them off and tie you up in a noose somewhere and hang you up for a sycamore tree. As Christians, they absolutely hate you. They despise you. They despise the way you look. They despise where you go to church. They despise what you stand for. Is that true? And Satan would offer you, don't you see what he's doing to the apostates that are falling away from the message? They can go in the rapture, they say. They can still be just as close to God as they ever were, except the reproach of long hair, the reproach of long dresses, all that sort of thing. It's all taken away. When you lose that, you lose his glory. When we forfeit the word, we're giving up our position in eternity. Notice he says, Lord Jesus. He was trying to get him to forfeit without the cross, and if he did, we'd be lost. He could have took the kingdom. He must come back. He was tempted to do it. Death is a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth. You mean Brother Donnie, really? I mean, really, he was, really, he was. He felt so tempted and so pulled to do it. But this is why we can overcome. We have a high priest who felt temptation. God in the Old Testament couldn't feel and understand why David would commit adultery. God couldn't understand by feeling, by experience, how Moses would get angry and break the law. He couldn't understand how Abraham would lie about his wife. But God had determined in the New Testament he was going to feel how it felt to be tempted by women, to be tempted by drinking, to be tempted by the world. Your God wants to know how it feels in Christ to be offered something without a price. Notice the prophet said he was tempted to take his liberty. Liberty. No death, no suffering, no consequence. Satan is the political king now of the earth. You imagine Satan telling him, look, the Pharisees will love you. The Essenes, the scribes, I control them all. They're all under me. They don't know it, but they're all under me. They'll love you. They'll adore you. All you've got to do is bow down right here and worship before me. I'll run you right down there in KFS. He's my main man anyhow. I'll just put it in his mind that you're the Messiah. Come on, children. I'll put it in his mind that you're the Messiah. I'll tell you what, I'll give you this. And Jesus thinking in his mind, they're going to hate me. They're the ones that's going to persecute me. They're the ones that... He didn't want to make enemies. No true servant of God is mean and vile and loves to stand against people. He loves people. But you've either got to stand for people or truth. Now, if you can stand with people and with truth, praise God. But if I have to stand with truth or with people, I'm going to take truth. And the real people of truth will stand with you. But here is a man, Jesus was tempted. Let me tell you something, my little sheep. You don't know the times I have been so tempted to cut a corner here, cut one there, not say this and not say that, and not say something else. knowing that when I do, oh my, you'll never know how many times I've been tempted to cut this and cut that. And then when you do get in a pinch, tempted to come back like a coward and say, I was wrong. The word is wrong. Society is right. The word is wrong. You know I've lost my mind when I say that. The word is right. I don't care what society says. Praise God. The word is right. I don't care what our president says, what our Congress says. I don't care what the Constitution says. If it's contrary to the word is right. But does that mean I ain't been tempted to make it easier? Huh. I'm a peace-loving man. You say, you got to be kidding, you? Well, the only reason you'd think that's because you don't know me. I hate trouble. I hate war. I hate difficulty. But I love my Father. Well, y'all just like me. Some of y'all troublemakers, you like trouble, but most of you ain't. You like peace. You enjoy peace. You enjoy just getting along with people and being happy and, you know, just go along. Mind your own business and be a good Christian and serve God. So Jesus is a man. He's weighing it out. Now his memory, the vision is now being printed on his memory. And as he's sorting through this, taking the memory of what's been pressed upon him by the vision from the fourth dimension, and also remembering now what the scriptures say about him, he'll be bruised, he'll be beaten, he'll be sold, he'll be betrayed, he'll be this and that and the other, his grave will be among the rich, and all that was prophesied, as we say on the bad side seemingly, against him, all this now is going through his mind. So the vision from the fourth dimension, the scenes of the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, is passing now before him, and you imagine the devil after he bothered him, then he backed off a little bit. Now Jesus has got to process this. So Satan throws this through his mind over and over and over again, and then he backs off from him just a few minutes, and then Jesus, knowing the word, begins to recall what the word says. Well, the word says this, and the word says that, and the word says this. That's the truth. It is the truth. It's going to be hard. It's going to be so difficult, and I'm a man. I don't want to die. I love my apostles that I'm going to get. I know I'm going to love them, and I'm going to love life. I'm going to live on the earth peaceably. And as a man, he's standing there like this upon this exceeding high mountain. And you imagine his perception, the height, all this coming together. He's so weak, he hasn't eaten now for 40 days. He's so weak and he's teetering humanly. His spirit is so pressed against the wild beasts have been around him. The bitter cold, you know how it is when you don't eat. You have no food in your body to make the temperature. You're standing there chilling. All this going through, and Satan said, I've got him. He had him all right, but he didn't know what to do with him after he had him. That's the kind of Christian I want to be, don't you? Well, praise God, that's the kind of Christian I am. Now watch this. Oh. He said he failed to do it. Now he said he was willing to forfeit Satan to him, but he didn't do it. Though Jesus was tempted, he overcame for us. He endured all temptations for me and for you. He could have took it right then. Right then, 2,000 years ago, Jesus could have been enthroned Son of David. I'm so glad he didn't. Aren't you so glad Brother Branham didn't compromise on the Word of God? Aren't you glad through the persecution, the difficulty, Brother Amos, that he brought us a message? He was hated, he was despised, he was rejected, and that day he was here. The Apostle Paul, aren't you glad that Paul, even though he was hated and despised, aren't you glad Paul didn't keep many of these things that we have in the Word of God to himself? He knew it was going to bring him persecution. Aren't you glad he didn't avoid this trouble and avoid being beat over there and being whipped over there? Aren't you glad there's men of God that are willing to bring it instead of just preachers that tell you what you want to hear and whisper sweet things to you? Oh my, give us men of God that will tell us the truth. Even if it makes us mad at them for a little bit, we'll come back and say, thank you, man of God, for preaching the word to me. Oh my. Now watch, he could have took it right then. No delay. No delay. Satan would have actually forfeited to Jesus right there on the mountain, right then. Jesus could have walked down off the mountain, crowned king. But it would have broke God's plan of salvation, broke God's redemption types, broke the dispensations. Son of David don't come in front of Son of God. He's got to be Son of Man and Son of God before he can become Son of David. Praise God. But look what Satan is appealing to. What is sin? What is selfishness? Selfishness is the essence of sin. Us loving ourselves more than we love God's word. A husband loving himself more than he loves his wife. Or a wife loving herself more than she loves her husband. Or children or whatever more. This is what causes conflicts in church. Somebody in the church that becomes disgruntled about something. And they love themselves better than they love the unity among the body. So they will yield their mouth to go through the church and sow all kinds of discord. Why? They are selfish. They are more concerned about their agenda or their idea than they are the unity in that body. Come on, you know it's the truth. Oh my. Notice this, Brother Rem said, paragraph 141, he failed to do it. Willing to forfeit it, Satan was to him, but he didn't do it. Though Jesus was tempted, he overcome for us. He endured all temptations for me, for you. He could have took it right then, but what did he take the other route for? So that we could come and be with him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if he paid such a price as that, then how little we be to not take it when, remember, there's nothing here anyhow. But look what Satan's saying. I can help you accomplish the will of God for your life. But it'll be easier. Look at God's way. It's so hard. It's so difficult. It's so painful. My way to get you to the same place is so much easier. Look, here you are at point A. You're wanting to go to point B. But what does God do? God leads you down the Via Dolorosa. God leads you through 3.5 years of persecution and tribulation. And God leads you way around over here and way around over here, down into the pits of hell. And then you wind up over here. What am I offering you? I'm offering you a direct route from point A to point B in a matter of minutes. All the friends, remember, Satan in this day is not going to try to get so-called Christians to deny Jesus' cross, but to deny their cross. Your battle will not be to deny the cross of Jesus. You're not a Muslim or you're not a Hindu or Shinto or any of those religions who do not even believe in the cross. So he knows better than to approach Christians that way. But he'll try to bring to them a theology to where they can do whatever they want to do, live any way they want to live and all of that because of what he did on his cross, then they really don't need their cross. Well, praise the Lord. Even though Jesus in the Gospels mentioned our cross before he mentioned his. And as a matter of fact, he mentioned our cross more times than he mentioned his own. So it must be pretty important to Jesus. So when I hear a preacher taking away from my cross, I know where he's getting his anointing, the devil. Any website, any books that are written that don't point you to your cross is contrary to the word of God. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, come, let him come after me and take up whose cross? His cross and follow me. But what is Satan doing today? He's coming the exact same route. You want to be a Christian? You want to go on the rapture? Sure, I can do all of that for you. Look, here you are. You're immortal. You're a point A. You're in the realm of mortality. You're wanting to get to point B, which is the realm of immortality. If you come God's way, you women got to quit cutting your hair. How cruel is that? You got to get rid of your Maybelline. My goodness, you just paid $45 for a bottle of that stuff. You know you don't want to waste that stuff. And some some of you men just paid $332 for them CDs of country and rock and roll trash. And why? You know, you go to that church, you got to get rid of all that. Well, they tell me you can't even have a television going there. Well, they tell me you can't get drunk. Who told you we don't believe in getting drunk? We believe in getting drunk. But we believe in getting drunk on the power of John 3:16, not old Crow. We don't believe in Jim Beam and all that sort of thing. Well, they tell me if you go to that church, you can't be happy. They lied to you. We some of the happiest people on the earth. Hallelujah! Well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. So you come here, and you want to get there, and you go to that knot-headed preacher up there. He spits and screams and hollers and carries on. My goodness, who in the world would want to go there? Well, I can offer you this simple way. Come right here. Accept Christ as your Savior. Don't get rid of your cigarettes. You might need them things. And your pipe, my goodness. Ain't the blood of Jesus more powerful than a pipe? And getting rid of your marijuana. Mom, I'm trying to make a way where I can legalize it in all 50 states. He is the one doing it. He is the one behind it. And look, I'm going to get you to immortality over here. But this is the easy way. There's no suffering. There's no difficulty. You can walk right in Walmart, you women, and you'll look just like all the rest of them. They'll never persecute you. They'll never look at you with your hair and your dress and think, my, where did she come from? There'll be no more reproach. And for all of you preachers, I know you preachers love sheep, and I know you love to preach. And if you just come with me, I'll give you this way right here. It'll be so much easier. There'll be hardly no reproach at all. I'll teach you my theological terms. You'll be able to fry their hides and they'll never even know it. You'll be so deep and so educated, you'll smoke them every time they go to the house of God, and they'll smile like a possum because they won't even know you're doing it. I'll educate you. I'll train you. And you'll be all over YouTube, except it won't be in a negative way. People say, my, this guy's a great guy. Oh, we all love him. But I figure if he tried this one-sided deal on my Lord, he's going to try it on me. And most of us, if we'd be real honest, if we saw the both sides of temptation, we'd never fall for it anyhow. But you know why we fall for it? Because the glory of the temptation. Or the sensual pleasure of the temptation. Or the joy or the fun of the temptation. Satan wants to offer you something without coming God's regular way. So what does he do? He promotes sex before marriage. Why? So that gets you what you want without having to come God's provided way. It gives you the kingdom without the cross. And if you don't like this woman, just move your stuff out and move in with another one. That way there's no divorce, there's no money, you've got to divide them and you just move around like a bunch of dogs, you mean? So like wild animals, that's the way they do. They mate with this one and mate with that one. Come on, children, you know it's the truth. This is our society. This is our society. And yet all of them's going to heaven. My to your, my. All of them's going to heaven when they all die. You know, the preacher puts them all in. But I tell you one thing, it's going to be a sad day one day when the reckoning time comes and they stand up and they say, hey, where's that guy that sold me this car at? Where's that guy that sold me this engine here out of that Oldsmobile? Don't tell me you got one of them, too. There's going to be millions of them that's going to stand there that day. And they're going to be looking for that salesman, the devil, that sold them this easy way to heaven. They didn't have to live right. They didn't have to do right. And they're going to find out they're on their way to hell. Oh, God. I can accomplish what you want. And it'll be so much easier. You want to listen to these tapes they promote? Who wants to follow a dead man? Not me. I ain't following no dead man. Oh, you say Brother Branham is dead? I beg your pardon. He ain't dead. You say, Brother Junior lost his battle with cancer. I beg your pardon. He never done no such a thing. He is alive. Glory! I said he is alive. Hallelujah to God. Oh, let Satan say what he wants. Let him offer all of it. But what I want to see
is the flip side. So let me take me. If I start compromising, quit preaching this, I bend under the pressure that I've been under. So I quit preaching this, quit preaching that, quit preaching this. Cut this corner, cut that corner. Do this, do that. No doubt I'll start getting more folks in here. I didn't say saints, I said folks. And those of you real saints, if I compromise, I know what you're going to do. You're heading out of Dodge. You'll be going to the U-Haul company looking for you a truck. Because you say, you know what, it's too late in the hour. I love Brother Don, but I'm not sitting here dying. I've got to be fed. I've got to feed my children, my wife, my family. We've got to be fed spiritually. So will Satan show a picture of that? Oh, no. Oh, no, he ain't going to show him that. It would have shown me wind up in tribulation period. Would have shown me, oh, no. He's just trying to get me from point A to point B. Sorry, devil. The VIN number on this body don't match the VIN number on this engine. Now you see, that's where you get in trouble is when you dig down a little deeper and you scrape off the oil and you scrape off all the gunk and you find out there's a VIN number, and if you run them VIN numbers, you find this certain engine did not come out of that certain car. You know why that I'm against the organizational systems? It's because them VIN numbers don't run back to Acts 2:38. The First Baptist, the First Methodist, the First Church of God, that is not the original VIN number of Acts 2:38. If it's the original VIN number, it come from Acts 2:38. It's got the second Adam's children way of acting. They believe in the power of God. They're born by the Holy Ghost. And you can trace them plumb back to the factory. That's why I'm original VIN number. I'm going to trace my identity back, don't you? Some of y'all don't remember, but years ago I had a 53 Ford truck. I had my cousins to build it up, and my, it was a pretty thing. But it was a hybrid, if there ever was one. Now, it was a 53 Ford body, but it sat on a frame that had a Camaro front end under it and an El Camino rear end under it. It had a 350 Chevy engine and Chevy transmission. And it was a Ford. They took the seat out of it and put a full bench seat out of a late model GMC pickup. They took the old metal dash out of it and put the dash in it of a Mustang. Now you're thinking this thing must look like a piece of junk. Oh no, it was a show truck. It won all kinds of trophies before I ever even got it. They took it to all kinds of shows. It was pretty, but it wasn't original. They cut this off and changed this and changed that and done this and that and the other. And that's the way folks want religion. Oh, they want the louvers gone and they want the original Acts 2:38 gone. They don't want none of that tongue-talking stuff around this message. I do. I do. Why? It's in the original manual, right? Oh, hallelujah. It's in the original manual. That's the way they made them at the factory. I mean, Carol had a 1955 Ford truck when we first got married. Had a 312 Thunderbird engine in it, which was from the factory, believe it or not. Had the leaf springs on the front end, like on the rear end. So it drove like a gravel truck. But I managed it because it had a bench seat. So we'd go down the road like this. I'm talking about after we was married. My uncle, every time he'd see me, had cancer in his throat and had to take his voice box out and he had to talk to him. I knew it was you and Carol. Every time you go down that road, y'all sitting there like one person in that seat. You're going to kill somebody. But that truck was original. But it didn't drive good. Wasn't near as pretty. Couldn't really show it. Well, you imagine them original ones, they stood up on the day of Pentecost. Woo! Holy! They come out of the factory all geared up.
Glory! And the people on the outside of the construction said, they're drunk. And they're drunk. And the main mechanic said, I'm said, these men ain't drunk like you think they are. But this is that. That was spoken of by the prophet Joel in the original manual. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men shall see visions.
And all the rest of them said, amen! Amen! But there was some standing there that didn't get that same experience. And the Bible says they was added to the church. Didn't say nothing about them getting the Holy Ghost over. The Nicolaitan spirit started right there. You folks have got the Nicolaitan thing where you think it's just the preacher. You should study the seals a little more and you'll find out Brother Brim said that Nicolaitan thing was the laity who didn't want that tongue talking power of God moving in the church. It ain't just preachers. What is it? From point A to point B. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't spit and slobber like Brother Donnie. I look just like, well, I try to look nice before I come out. I realize I've been to a horse race when I get done, and I was the horse in the race. But you know what? I ain't letting my hair, I ain't letting my suit, I ain't letting my socks or my shoes, I ain't letting my pride. That Holy Ghost moves on me. If he wants to shake me around, let him shake me. Amen. My goodness, if he wants to dance me across this platform, I'm going to give him my feet. I'm going to give him my legs. If he wants to clap my hands, here they are, Lord. Why? Because that's in the manual. Of course, we're refined now. We've been in the message so long. I don't believe in that old Pentecostal stuff. Brother Donnie, you say that because you come from Pentecost. I say that because I come from God. I didn't preach this back in the Pentecostal stuff I was in. We didn't have this back yonder. So what's he trying to do to us? Offer us a spot in the message without us dying on the cross. Luke chapter 4 verse 5. Watch how Luke now reiterates this to us. And the devil taking him into an high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now somehow it was given that the tempter was able to extend supernaturally for a moment our Lord's vision capabilities. His range of vision was now able to move into the future, not by the Spirit of God, by the Prince of the power of the air. This is why I don't trust feelings, dreams or visions or any other supernatural thing if it's contrary to this word. I don't deny that people don't have all kinds of supernatural things. I had them too, and I've had them. I've been sitting studying the Word of God, studying for a sermon, and something come to me. I thought, oh Lord, have mercy. This is wonderful. This is great. And I go to study a little bit more, and I find something that seems a little bit funny. And I find a little another something. I find a little another something. And I realize that was a demon out of hell that was trying to give me something. I'm so glad that I went ahead and studied it all out. Every preacher that's preached very long will say the same thing. Is that right, brother? Sure it is. Why? Because you're in that realm. You're searching for God. You're seeking for God. How many people did I knew in Pentecost that went on 40-day fast and hardly any of them that ever went out there ever come back straight? Why? They opened up themselves to demons. The flesh got out of the way. That's dying down, dying down. But not only are angels there, but fallen angels are there as well. Don't you see where Jesus was? He was so open. He was so open. The flesh is so weak. The spirit is so palatable. He's so open now. And when he is, my, it's like his whole being is just so subject to the supernatural realm. And Satan knows that. The flesh is way back here and the spirit is up here. He captivates his ability by supernatural vision and breaks him into this. And here the Lord Jesus is reeling under the impact of this pull. And it is so pulling on his flesh. He's staggering as a man. Thinking, do I need to do this? Is this necessary? You don't know the times, my friends, that I have sat downstairs with my computer in my lap, go to studying and looking and thinking in my mind, is this really necessary? Sometimes I may look at 1,500, 2,000. I've looked up to 10,800 quotes on one subject. Study for maybe 3-4 weeks on a Saturday night and Sunday morning sermon for you. And a lot of folks won't even show up. Or if they do show up, they sleep. Or they can't wait till you get done. And then you think, is it worth it? When other preachers go out and do this and that and the other, and they come in and throw some stuff together and preach a little 25-minute sermon or whatever it is, and it seems like everybody's just as happy as they are by the guy who labors and kills himself. Is it worth it? Is it really any more accomplished from this man over here and that man over there? And you look at these brothers who labor in the Word and labor in the Word, and then you look at these guys that they just do whatever to get through, and seem like their people is just as happy as this one. Is it worth it? Does it really make any difference? Yeah, it does. It does. It does, my brothers. Hallelujah! It makes a difference. What about it, Brother Roy? You people that sing, you musicians. Does it make a difference if you pray before service? Does it make a difference if you concentrate and ask God, God, give me direction. Lord, give me leading of the Holy Ghost. And I say, well, let's just get in and get it done. Get Brother Donnie out, walk, go home. Let's go to Taco Bell. It makes a difference. Will Satan have an alternate way? A song leader can have God's way, and a song leader can have a rapid route from A to B. A songwriter, an organ player, a piano player, a deacon, come on children, a housewife, a young girl, a young boy. Satan has got his alternate route for every one of us. And it's up to us as an individual. We cannot turn down that alternate route as a group. We cannot turn it down as a church. We've got to turn it down as an individual. To where you stand there and look him in the face as Jesus said and say, get behind me, Satan. I will not worship you. I will not bow down to you. I'll take the hard way. I'll take the reproachful way. I'll take the despised way. Let me close. Can you imagine the tempter is able to extend supernaturally for a moment of time our Lord's vision and able to gloss over and glitter and glamorize in a moment of time something that seems so appealing? Jesus is not acting now. Okay, I've got to act like this bothers me. How could he help me if he was an actor? He had to experience it. The exceeding height of the mountain is now working on his senses, his perception. Parallel with that is the exceeding height that Satan is now offering him position-wise. No food, teetering, standing on this high mountain, all of it working together. Moses could have never took this. David could have never took it. But this ain't David. Glory. Let me close. Brother Bram says, here what shocks people. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Think of that. In other words, he just opened up. And he saw all the kingdoms of the world. The United States, Russia, Great Britain, all of them. And he said, these are mine. They just flash. And Satan just steps up here before him and supernaturally opens Jesus' vision. And here Jesus is seeing it right before his eyes. Standing there as a man, maybe trying to balance himself because of the heights and because of weakness in his body. You imagine this fast movement moving before his eyes with the weakness and the dizziness caused by this height of the mountain. Satan knows how to work it all. Yeah, don't you know I hit you when you're your weakest? You get down, you get sick, you get weary. If you know what? If your body's sick, and you'll be able to pull through. But if your body gets down and your spirit gets down with your body, oh my. Then if you feel like nobody don't love you, the church don't love you, the pastor don't love you, well, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to have to fight to get out of that kind of a spot. Why? Because Satan knows exactly how to hit us. His body was weak. Jesus was. His spirit, my, here he is as a man. He's feeding full. He's up on this high point. The dizziness all around. Every bit of it seemed like it's working just right. And he's watching Jesus, watching his body language, looking in his eyes. The way he watches yours. And he watches your fingers on the keyboard. And he can see that it's born Jesus. And he's waiting. Say it. Say it. Say you will. Glory to God. Brother Ram says, Great Britain and all of them. He said, these are mine. Satan did. Jesus knew they was his. And he said, I'll give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me. The second seal, Satan took Jesus up to a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world that ever was or ever would be in a moment of time. Talk about a person. And he said, I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. Jesus knew he was going to fall heir to them. But how long would that be? Okay, so here's Jesus at point A. Satan's point B is a matter of moments. God's point B, we've been through it 2,000 years so far and he still ain't got it yet. 2,000 years and Jesus still ain't been crowned king. And he won't be until we go home. Paul's never seen Jesus yet. Peter's never seen him. James has never seen him. They're in the sixth dimension of the theophany body. Come on. They are waiting. What for? Us! Jesus has been overcome all these years. And what's he been doing? He's been a high priest interceding for our sins. So coming God's way and he still ain't got the kingdom. Coming God's way, he still ain't got the throne. Coming God's way, he still ain't got the crown. But when he gets it, he'll look around behind him and there we'll be. Woo! Glory! You imagine if we could go up to him and say, Lord Jesus, was it worth the wait? Oh, my. Can you imagine his response, Brother Skip? Worth the wait? This is my lover. This is my darling. This is my sweetheart. It has been worth the wait of 2,000 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember, he may make you wait. God may bring you the hard, rugged route. Difficulties, hardships. But if you could look ahead and see God's route versus the devil's route, you wouldn't even consider the devil's route. Because remember, all the devil can do is make promises. He can't even get you to point B. He can get you to point H. That liar. That hypocrite. He changed the name of this point over here from B to H. He think I can't read? He think you can't read? He can't offer me heaven. He can't offer me an alternate way to heaven. He ain't got no way to heaven himself.
Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Luke says it this way, Luke 4:6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Whomsoever I will give it. So he only asked Jesus for one thing. Just fall down and worship me. Now that's not quite the way that it sounds in our English language. He's not even asking Jesus to worship him as God. He's simply asking Jesus to fall down before him and worship. Which is the same thing, the same terms that was used in the Eastern kings when you would come into their presence, that you would bow in obeisance. Jesus has been from the very heart of God. He would not worship this as being God. But if he will just worship before him. Can't you see the Protestants? Many of them will never bow to the beast itself. They'll bow to the image. Many of them will go right through the tribulation despising and hating the Pope. I bless God, I ain't no Catholic. I'll stand against that Pope. Hallelujah. But they take the mark of the image of the beast. So he's coming in directly. Come on, say, go ahead and worship me. I'm God. I'm God. He said, I know you ain't God. You're the devil. But he says, you don't have to profess me as God. Just worship before me. That way, you're subjecting yourself that you are inferior to me. But notice what Jesus is saying. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan, you are a creature. I don't believe in creature worship. I do not believe in creation worship. You are a creature. You are inferior to me. I am the Logos. I made all things.
Praise.
Hold on. It would be inferior for you and I to worship before him. He is a creature of time. I am of eternity. Glory to God! It would be inferior for me to sell myself to him. I do count it an honor that he'd like to have me. Come on! You ought to be honored that the devil would love to have you on his side. But I ain't for sale. Hallelujah. He'd love to have me on his side. But he'd love to have you here. He'd love to have many of you on his side. Oh, if I could have them, what I could do with them. Why, you wouldn't make you sick as a dog, devil. You wouldn't want me down in hell. What would you want me down in hell for? Going down there preaching people, casting out devils out of people. I'd tear hell upside down. You wouldn't want me down there. He wouldn't want you folks down there. He don't want you like you are now. But he'd love to have your desire. He'd love to have you on his team. But you see, I've got a contract signed for me. On the God team.
Amen.
And even though I'm a free moral agent, I can't leave this contract.
Amen.
I mean, don't they do something like that in football or basketball or something like that where these guys are, you know, they sign these contracts and they're a free agent or whatever they are. I'm a free moral agent, all right, but this contract was already signed before I was ever free or moral. Woo! Glory! My contract was signed before the foundation of the world. I don't want to leave the God team for the devil team.
Amen.
I do count it an honor, though, you'd like to have me on your side. No thanks. Because the benefits on this team are out of this world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. This temptation would eliminate the pain of the cross, the pain of ridicule, the pain of suffering. So will yours. Come the easy way. Just join a church. This church, any church, whatever church you want to join. Just don't be born again. Don't take up your cross and be a real consecrated Christian. I don't know about you. I want to take up my cross every day of my life. To be honest with you, it just makes me sad to feel like there may have been days in my life that I tried to dodge this cross. It makes me feel really sad that I've said in my heart, Lord, I wish I wasn't a preacher. You folks see, man up preaching, anointed by the Holy Ghost, people getting healed, this, that, and the other. Boy, if that's all there was to it, you'd not believe the other stuff that goes with it, friends. You would not believe it. Death threats, people writing you off of letters and stuff, ever was. Emails. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. Would you do it all over again, Brother Donnie? With all of my heart. What about you? Your sisters want the easy way? You want the easy way where you can bob your hair and just dress any way you want to, paint your face. And, oh, but you're under the cross, so-called. Going to the rapture, so-called. Well, you can take the words of these false prophets if you want to, or you can take the word of a vindicated prophet of God. Said there won't be one bob-haired woman in that city. I'll guarantee you that. You can take whichever words you want. I'm going to take the word of that prophet.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach it that way. Let's take up our cross, children, and follow Jesus. Men, women, boys, girls. You'll be hated, rejected, despised, cast out. Who knows what we'll face before we get out of here. But I know He'll give us strength. Because He promised it. You'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord in prayer. For wherever you are in your walk with God. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we bring these simple things tonight to your children, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. No doubt each of them can relate in their own way, in their own walk, of a more simple way that has been offered to them than the way of the cross. Imagine Satan must have offered a much more simple way to Moses, to David. When Isaiah was laying there in that log, and they took a saw and started cutting his body in two. I wonder if his mind went back to the simple way, the easier way, so-called, that Satan had offered him. When the priest of Greece beat Mark to death with a fuller's club. Whenever these men that gave their lives in Symphorosa in the first century, having seven children, and they come in 1 week and killed all seven because they were Christians. I wonder how Sister Symphorosa went back to church next Sunday. Did she hang her head down and say, why'd I listen to you people? Last Sunday I had seven sons. Today I have none. No, that's not the way history records it. But she kept right on serving you. Right on living for you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, one by one, they were killed, fed to the lions in the arena. Their children tortured, put sheepskins on their kids, and turned leopards and lions loose on them. And they'd eat them in the Colosseum. The hard way, the rugged way. That was the Alpha Bride. A seed must be sown. So we could stand here today in the Omega end time. And say we believe the same gospel that they believed. For some of them all they would have to have done was just offered a sacrifice to the emperor. And just say secretly in my heart, I'm still a believer, but I'll do this to get the trouble off of me. I'll compromise. Yeah, bring me a lamb. I'll make a sacrifice to the emperor. I don't know this Jesus. I don't want to do this Jesus no more. No, that's okay. I deny it. I recant. And then walk back out. Well, that's okay. I didn't really mean it. But they were willing to die. Help us, Lord Jesus. And our age to be willing to be made fun of and laughed at and ridiculed. We can see they would kill us the same way. But we're not anointed to be buried. We're anointed to fly. Not saying there won't be some among us that won't go by the way of the grave. But our anointing is rapture time. Help us, Lord Jesus. I pray for the young, for the old, for the in-between, for each man, woman, boy, and girl. Help us, Lord, to resist temptation. Teach us how to fight, Lord. Lord, in studying on this, I studied on the strategy of the Roman army, the strategy of the Greek army, the strategy of the Bithynians, the strategy of the Cretan army, different strategies of different armies, and how they would fight. And one thing they wanted to do was to train those soldiers, especially the Romans. Whether there was one Roman soldier or 500 or 1,000 or 10,000, you'd know he was a Roman by the way he fought. If they could teach them all to fight basically the same, they would all move in unison. Instead of this and fighting this way and that and fighting that way and that and fighting that way, if we could only understand, you was giving us the one example that we needed there that day. Defeat Satan on the word. Don't argue with him. Don't fuss with him. Tell him the word and go on. Help us, Lord, to not try to fight on our own and get medals and get this and that. But teach us to fight so when the devil says, they'll say, is that Donnie or is that Jesus? Is that Harry? Is that Joel Brown Fine or is that Jesus? Is that Peter or is that Terry Horn? Help us, Lord, that we'll fight the same. We'll take that word, men, women, boys, and girls. We'll fight the same. We'll not argue. We'll not move. We'll not flinch. We'll fight exactly the same way. We will be undefeatable. We will be immovable. Praise be to God. Grant it, Lord God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anoint your bride around the world. Anoint your bride in South America, in Central America, in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, wherever she is around the world and the opposition she faces. Lord God, anoint her, I pray. Fathers, we hear even in the war with Hamas of different things that has happened supernaturally with Israel, bombs not going off and winds that were blowing bombs away. It shows us that you're fighting for Israel. Lord God, how much more will you fight for your beloved bride, Lord? Hallelujah. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to fight. For Moses said it so many, many years ago, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you lay your hand over on that soldier standing by you. Pray for him that God will give him strength. Might be a housewife raising a bunch of young'uns. Might be a husband trying to be the head of a home. A young man trying to live a single life and stay clean. A young woman, a married man, a married woman. Oh, hallelujah. You that are streaming the service, why don't you do the same there in your home, in your automobile, at the hospital, wherever you are. May the Spirit of God come right down right where you are. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, may you strengthen your soldiers tonight, Lord. Teach us how to fight, Lord. Oh God, we're not looking for badges. We're not looking for honor among men. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to fight. How to fight with honor and integrity, Lord. We're not fighting to build a name for ourselves. We're not fighting because we're a kingdom builder. We have one kingdom we want to give our strength to, and that's the kingdom of God. I never have a desire, don't have, never had, never will, as long as I'm full of the Holy Ghost, have a desire to build a kingdom called Donnie Reagan. Why would I want such? It'd be wasting my time. But Lord, we want to give our strength, our gift, our ability to the enhancing of the kingdom of God if we can, Lord. Strengthen your soldiers tonight, Lord. Go out on the waves of this internet, dear God. I pray in the name of Jesus down in Kentucky and Norway, up in New York, God, for those in Africa, those in different places around the world that will stream these services, dear God, down in South Africa. May the anointing of the Holy Ghost come through the computer, Father. May the anointing of the Holy Ghost come right through the CD as they play it, or the DVD as they watch it. Lord God, may you bring healing to their bodies. May you bring courage to them, Lord, I pray. Father, as your army, we need strength like never before. Oh, Lamb of God, in the name of Jesus, we call on the name of the Lord of hosts. May you strengthen us, Lord. May you strengthen us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray for these prayer calls again, Father. In the name of Jesus, may you minister to these needs, Lord. Get it, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we go ahead and just wave our hands up before the presence of the King? Let it be your banner of victory. The victory is ours. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And greater is He, the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is God's promise. You believe it, church? Take your handkerchief or your Bible. Let's just give the Lord a wave offering tonight, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, great captain of the host, would you walk among us tonight with strength and healing, Lord? Oh, Lamb of God, walk among us with deliverance, oh God. The needs of your children, we call upon your name, Father. As Joshua of old stood there that night before the battle began around Jericho, and he was startled by a heavenly visitor, and he said, are you for our enemy, or are you for us? He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Oh, great captain, we beseech you tonight, Lord God. We believe you're the same one that's walking among us, Lord. We've never been this way before, Father. But we believe as you anointed them to march around Jericho, even so will you anoint us, dear God, in this last age to overcome. We will overcome rock and roll. We will overcome pornography. We will overcome the things of the world. We will overcome hate. We will overcome every foul spirit out of hell, because we are born to overcome, Father. We are not born to be defeated. We are not born to serve the devil, but we are born to serve you. We are born to praise you. We are born to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We are born to have a new birth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes hallelujah. Oh, sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently sing our hearts in one accord. Yes, Lord. Sometimes I. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Our hearts in water
flow. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just give him now a few moments more, if you would. Not him giving back to us, but us giving back to him. Oh, God, you're going to bless me. God, you're going to let me fill you. No, don't think that way. Lord, this is what I'm going to give to you. I'm not focusing on me now, Lord. I'm not focusing how you're going to make me feel. I'm not focusing, God, you're going to make me shout. God, you're going to make me cry. God, I want to focus on making you feel wonderful. I want to focus on adoring you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. I give to you what I refuse to give to the devil. I give my adoration. I give to you what I refuse to give to Satan, my soul. I give you the depths of my being, Lord God. It is yours. I am yours. I give you my hands, my mouth, my voice, my feet, my mind, my being, my gifts. All that I am, Lord God, I give to you. Take me, Lord Jesus. And I'm not much, I know, Lord. But I know if you could take a little boy's lunch and feed 5,000, surely you could take me, Lord, and be able to do a little something. I may not be able to feed 5,000, but if I could be able to feed one or two or three, take me, Lord. Use me for your honor, Lord God. Take me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Would you just tell him, children? Tell him to take your hands and take your mouth and take your eyes and your ears and your feet. Will you give them to him? I mean freely. Will you freely give them to him? You won't hold them back. You'll give them all to him. All that you are. Thank you, Lord. Take us, Jesus. Take us, Lord Jesus. We don't know really what much we could do. We're not a great people. We're not a smart people. Most of us just country folks, Lord. And we're not great people. But Lord, if there's something you can do with us, we'll certainly submit ourselves to you, dear God. Hallelujah, Lord. No, we don't desire to be great. We don't ask you to use us so we can be great. But we promise you we'll do our best. If you'll use us, we'll stay little. We'll just stay small. Oh, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I bless your name. I worship you, Adonai. Mighty Elohim, El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Tidskenu. Jehovah Shammah. I worship, I adore, I bless, I magnify. Hallelujah. I worship the Lord God, and Him only will I serve. Hallelujah. I do not serve many. I do not serve men. I do not serve pride. I do not serve nations. I do not serve politics. The Lord God is my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Remember, friends, when Jesus resisted against Satan, then the Bible says the devil left him. And the Bible says angels came and ministered unto him. After the temptation, then came the ministration. Jesus refuses to bow to the devil. Then angels came and ministered. Do you understand? When this age is finished, oh glory, and we refuse to bow to Laodicea and the power of the Pope and the power of denominations, our angels will come and minister to us a body change. Glory to God. Glory to God. It won't be Gable, a woodworm, or one of them. Our angels. You say our angels? Yes. Our angels. Our angels. We have angels. Glory to God. Our angels, the elect, have angels. Our angels will come and minister unto us and bring us into a new body. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord, more than life. We love you, Lord, more than our homes, more than our jobs. Lord, us brothers, Lord, that are true sons of God, we love our wives. We love our children. We love many things in life. But I want you to know, Lord, I love you more than I love Carol. I love you more than I love my daughters. Oh, I've got six wonderful granddaughters, Lord. I love you more than I love them. You give me some wonderful sheep, God, but I love you more than I love them. You give me wonderful friends around the world, Lord Jesus, by the thousands, but I love you more than I love them. Lord Jesus, I love you. I am willing, oh God, if need be, to die for you, to suffer reproach for you, to be lifetime for you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I worship you. I adore you, Lord God. Oh, in my weakness, dear God, I've asked for the easy way. I've considered the easy times. But, Lord, you know that's not who I am. You know that's not my soul. I want your way. I want your way, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done, oh Lord. Forgive me. Forgive these people when we complain for the hard times. Lord, we want to get from point A to point B. And you're the only one that can get us there, Lord. Hallelujah. Take us the hard way. It may be through difficulties. It may be through hardships. It may be years and years and years. But it is the true way. Your way, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we'll look back too and say, it was worth it, Lord. It was worth it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 What are you waiting on, Brother Donnie? I ain't waiting on nothing. I just want to give you and him that time. I don't want to sing and run and jump and take away his time. This is time for him, from us. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. My husband, my King, my Redeemer. Thank you for not taking the easy way, Lord. I couldn't stand your save tonight if you'd have took that route. You would have been King Jesus tonight. And I would have been lost Donnie if I would have lived. You would have been King Jesus, but lost Terry and lost Gene and lost Janet and lost Larry. No way for us to ever be saved. Yet you would have been king, but you forfeited the crown. You forfeited that throne so Donnie and Frank could be saved and all the rest of these brothers and sisters and children of God around the world. Hallelujah. My friends and my brothers and sisters over in Nairobi and, oh God, and Kampala and Mombasa and Paris and wherever they are, Lord God. You're still waiting on your throne. Hallelujah. But you were willing to wait so that I could get the Holy Ghost. You were willing to wait on your crown, Lord God. Then surely we can wait for praise and adoration to come till it comes from you. Help us to not seek it from people. Help us to not seek it from Laodicea. We'll wait, Lord. I'll wait to be loved by everybody around me till I get to the millennium. I'll wait, Lord God, till everybody will like me. I'll wait till I get into your city. Because if I get it now, I have to compromise, Lord. I'll wait. It'll be worth it, Lord. It'll be worth it, oh God. It'll be worth it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Lord God. Lord Jesus, we worship. We adore you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Just love him, children.
When the reason that I'm standing.
Just worship him. Just adore him. He's worthy of your praise and your love. Give him what you won't give to the devil. give him the adoration from your soul. The devil would love for you to give it to him tonight. But give it to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He left all your brothers to give him your ability. Don't give it to the devil. Give it to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, somebody help me love him. Oh, God, I bless your name.
Oh, hallelujah. For the gospel.
Hallelujah.
When it seemed I stood alone,
Lord Jesus.
Through the heartaches and frustrations, I kept my focus on the throne.
Yes,
so many times I have recalled my Savior's words so true.
Oh,
child, if you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be you. So stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. Stands in front of me. The road is not an easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but he kept me with his amazing grace. Someday soon I'll have a chance to thank him face to face. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front, every kindred, tongue, and race, and every child of God that day will look upon his face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan summer will all stand together. When he stands in front.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When it's my time, I'm going to take my time. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
When it's my time, I'm going to take my time.
Thank you, Lord God.
To behold His face.
Thank you. Each one of you is going to get that time.
When it's my time.
Each one of you sisters.
I'm going to take
one of you brothers,
my time. To talk of His ministry. To do things right, one must take their time. In a hurried pace, there's often a waste with no reason, of reason or rhyme. But when I think about my
knees and I cried holy. Praise be to God.
Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright. So bright. Help me sing it now. We'll go just a few moments. I enter the gate. I cry, holy. Be the name of the Lord God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I heard people from every kindred and tongue and nation and people, John said, and they were saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, he has made us kings and priests. And we shall reign upon the earth. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and make merry. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife hath made herself ready. Glory. She didn't make herself his wife. But she made herself ready. He made her his wife. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Hey, sing one more as we go. Oh, ain't it been good to be in the house of God? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
What a mighty God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus is. Thank you.
Gathering again in his courts, Lord willing, in the morning to see what wonderful, beloved things he will have to say to us.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. How great thou art. Let's sing this together as we go. Oh, hallelujah. I so appreciate his goodness, don't you? He has been so very good to me. If he never gave me one more blessing in my life, never answered one more prayer, I have nothing to complain about. Sometimes when I get weary and I get low, I like to go to Psalm 68, verse 1. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, a God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah. When thou wentest before thy people, when thou didst march. Can you imagine? Here we are marching. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're looking around, and who's marching with us? Well, there's God. There's God. Amen. Oh, what a privilege to march with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go home. Sing it.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God.